Hi, I'm Bob Tabor with LearnVisualStudio.net. In the previous lesson, we looked at how to work with and manipulate strings, and often you'll be working with date and time information as well in your application. So in this lesson, what I want to do is look at the basics of working with the date-time class in the .NET Framework class library, as well as doing date-time math, formatting the date and time class to be represented as a string in various ways, and a lot more. So to get started, let's create a new project. I'm going to go to File, New Project, and create a project called Dates and Times. Click OK. So I'm going to begin with a pretty simple example. Again, please feel free to follow along. Okay, so let's break down the code that I wrote, and then we'll come back to it and run the application in just a moment. First of all, notice in line 12 that I'm creating a new date time variable called myValue, and I'm initializing it to datetime.now. So this will give us, as we hover our mouse cursor over and see the little helper, that it will set the current date and time on this computer to our variable. And so then I'm just merely printing that out to our console window using the toString helper method. So let's go ahead and run the application. And you can see that it gives us month, day, year, hour, minute, second, and then either AM or PM. All right, so in some cases, this will be our desired format. In some cases, we may want a little more precision, or just the date or just the time. So let's talk about that for just a moment. Let's actually comment out this line of code. And I'm going to use one of the many helper methods you can see. As I kind of go up and down through the IntelliSense, notice that I can grab just parts of the date or time, like hour, minute, month, second, year, and so on. I can also use these two formats to change how the date is actually output. So in this case, to short date string. Let's see what that gives us. Let's run the application. And now we see just the date. And notice that it's using my cultural settings on my computer the way that dates are typically represented in the United States. If you live in Europe or some other part of the world where they put the day first, then month, then year, you would see a different result than what I have here. Okay. Let's also just show the time. Using the to short time string method. And here we're just pulling the time of day. We can also do some kind of interesting things that I typically refer to as date-time math. We can, for example, add days, hours, minutes, months, years, and so on. Let's just add some days to the current date. So I'll add 3 days. And then I'm going to hit the dot on my keyboard one more time. Notice that this returns a date time. So currently we're working with the date time. This method will add 3 days to the current date time and return a date time. So if I were to hit a dot on my keyboard, I'd be able to continue to work with a date time. So in this case, to short date string, I'm able to kind of attach these methods together. As long as they all return the same thing, I can build this long argument. So I'm taking my current value, which is today's date, I'm going to add 3 days to it, and then I'm going to just print out the date portion of our date time class. So let's run the application, and you can see formerly it was 524, now it's 527. All right, pretty neat. So this technique of adding methods together is called chaining. You're chaining together multiple methods. This helps save a considerable amount of typing, for one thing. It also makes your code kind of readable in a human format. So we'll take my value, add 3 days, and then print out the value to a short date string. Okay, that's how I would read that in my mind as I'm looking through my code. And like I said, there's a number of different variations on this. So console.writeLine, my value dot add hours, and we'll add 3 hours to short time string. And even though it's just 10 a.m. in the morning, we'll see that adding 3 hours would make it about 1:14 in the afternoon. Okay. We can also subtract, not by using a dot subtract hours, but by putting a negative number in. So while, again, it's 10:14 in the morning, it's subtracting 3 hours would make it 7:14 a.m. And as I pointed out a little bit earlier, it bears mentioning here that we can pull specific parts of the date or the time for various purposes. So in this case, notice that as I hover my mouse cursor over month, it will return an integer value, 1 to 12. So let's run that and see that currently it is, in fact, May. Okay, so up to this point, we've been working with datetime.now. I said earlier that that gives us the current date and time, but what if I wanted to create a datetime variable that held a date in the past? How can I create a new date time that has some date in the past or in the future and then use that for my data? Well, the way that I would do that is to follow this convention, and there's a couple of things I want to point out about this. So I'm going to give you my birth date. Maybe I should just say date instead. Equals new date time. Now here's that new keyword again. We haven't discussed that just yet. We will soon, promise. So now I'm going to create a new instance of the DateTime class. Again, don't worry about that nomenclature. I just wanted to say it. And I open up a parenthesis. Now, we'll talk about why you're able to call essentially a method whenever you create a new instance of a class. Again, hold off. But notice that in my IntelliSense it says I have 12 overloaded versions of this available to me. I can call just a new date time with no input parameters. Or I can give long ticks, and a tick is basically a 100 nanosecond unit. Okay, so I can give it a fairly large number. But what I am looking for is one of the variations on this overloaded constructor. Again, don't worry about that word. That allows me to type in the year, the month, and the day in integers. And now I have my birth date as December 7th, 1969. There's another way that I can do this exact same thing. It's actually a little bit easier. So let's comment this first one out. I can use datetime.parse, and then I can give it a string that represents a date. So 12/7/1969. And both of these will work. Okay. Now suppose that I want to calculate how many days that I've lived on the Earth since my birth date. I can't really use a date time object for that. That represents a single point in time. We need a different type of object or different data type that is used for a span or a duration of time. So to accomplish that, we're going to use a different data type. Not date time, we're going to use a time span object. So time span my age equals date time dot now dot subtract my birth date. Okay, so notice that the subtract method takes a date time value. So it's going to take now minus whatever date I pass in. And then what I want to do is console.writeLine my age dot and it has a different number of methods I can choose to, for example, display how many total days I've been alive. And this will return back a double, so let me just do a two string on that to explicitly convert the data type. And let me run the application. And you can see that I've been alive for 15,143 days. I feel old all of a sudden. Okay, so at any rate, I could use some combination of properties and methods of the time span object to determine exactly how that translates into years and months and days, given the possibility of leap years and so forth. Again, there's a whole lot that we have not covered, but I felt these were common uses of both the date time object and the time span objects. And so I want to give you some encouragement at the end of this lesson that I did with previous lessons, and that is, if you find yourself writing a lot of code to manipulate dates and times and spans of time, then you might want to stop down, take a few moments and watch this video again, or better yet, look at MSDN and search online, because the .NET Framework base class library has something for you already built into it. So writing applications often involves working with data, and as we've learned in this lesson and the lesson previous, the .NET Framework base class library can help you with all kinds of manipulations on all types of data. All right, so now we're going to move on to some more complicated concepts that will help give you a framework or a philosophy of how to write code and split code up properly and how to think about code. And we'll talk about that in the next video. See you there.